Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce our crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back. Former LAPD Commander, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, and all the way from the state of Ohio, actually, right now. He's also the author of the new book. It has been released. Yes, it is called On Thin Ice. You can get more information at onthinicebook.com. Also, you know, we got our Special Forces Green Beret / Delta Force operative, Scott Steyert. He's with Aero Precision USA right now. And yeah, I know you're pretty excited about those tier rifles because they are your handiwork, Scott. So you got to be like a proud papa. And I love it. So more information coming up about those guys. But thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. Appreciate it. I do want to shout out to our sponsors. Guys, please support our sponsors to go to the great lengths to make sure the show's available to you. We have Gauls at Gauls.com, our title sponsor. Also, our satellite sponsor and, you know, ComplianTechnologies.com. They got us on satellite radio. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Scott's company, our arms sponsor. And we always love talking about long guns. Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, and they are a streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming to over 1 million people right now. Also, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. We will be doing a TwoBells giveaway and a Gulls giveaway today, by the way. Also, FishOrlandoBass.com. So Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando of all places. So yeah, when you're going to Disney, let the wife and kids go enjoy themselves, even the grandkids. And you have options now, guys. You can do that bass fishing charter, or if you're feeling very adventurous, you know, kind of like Scott here, do the alligator hunting, catch and relocate alligators. It's a great opportunity. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaEP.com. Thanks for carrying their content. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. So thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today, guys? It is a great time to be alive. I can't wait to look at the news cycle every day. So bombshell, declassified documents have been released. Ukraine was worried about the Biden family corruption. Listen to what, you know, we already know about how the FBI has been, you know, golly, they've been militarized against the American people, right? But listen to see what the CIA, how they got involved in this stuff. Then DHS releases data on an insane number of illegal aliens that are no longer in America. It is happening. Wow. And fast. Man arrested with 200 plus explosives outside Supreme Court red mass in Washington, D.C. Guys, this is scary. Then we got a suspect wounded in a shootout with Portland police at a gas station, where there's all kinds of things going on in Portland right now. We got St. John's County deputy shoot and kill a guy holding the gun after a neighbor reports a suspicious person. And then we've got I don't know if she's single yet, guys, or not, but we have a female Florida firefighter charged with stalking after dumping 75 red stained tampons on her ex's yard. So she may be available. Police release body cam and 911 calls before two officers shoot a guy that points a BB gun at them. Then we got body cam showing a shooting involving an officer after a guy flees a traffic stop. A Toronto police officer pleads guilty to assault and careless use of a firearm in a shooting that left the guy injured. So assuming that we have time to cover all those, that's what is on the lineup. So if you guys are ready, let's start off. We have two main topics back to back that I'd like to cover. We got a little over 7 minutes before we get to our first commercial break. So first story, RVM News, which is redvoicemedianews.com, bombshell declassified documents released. Ukraine worried about Biden's family corruption. So, wow, just when you think, you know, I like the fact that it's trickling out, because all the information that's come out since Trump's been in office, it would just be overwhelming, right? So newly declassified intelligence memos, and these are intelligence memos, and again, they have been declassified, so now we're finding out about them. Then Vice President Joe Biden, his team intervened back in February of 2016 to block the CIA from distributing a report to policymakers about how senior Ukrainian officials viewed his son's business dealings. And of course, we're talking about Hunter Biden. So this move, and look, we're more interested in it about the weaponization of law enforcement, right? So it was described by a senior CIA official as extremely rare and unusual. It came directly from Biden's national security advisor, according to documents that were reviewed by Just the News. Now, a spokesperson, here's actually a quote, and this is the Biden's presidential daily brief briefer. So this is the guy that's given him these daily briefs. He told the CIA, "I just spoke with the VP NSA, and he would strongly prefer the report not be disseminated. And the report in question, it summarized Ukrainian officials' private reactions to Biden's December 2015 visit to Kyiv. It said that during that, he met with President Petro Poroshenko. And at the time, Biden was overseeing U.S. policy toward Ukraine following the Maidan Revolution and the annexation of Crimea from Russia. And it goes on to say that the CIA report shows Ukrainian officials were frustrated because of Biden's visit. They thought that he was going to engage in substantive discussions with Poroshenko about and other leaders, but that really never happened. It said officials viewed the alleged ties of the U.S. vice president's family to corruption in Ukraine as evidence of a double standard with the United States government towards matters of corruption and political power. And this is all according to the intelligence community. The CIA memo noted that the Ukrainian officials expressed bewilderment and disappointment over the visit. They were expecting vice president to address policy matters that were avoided or that were instead avoided. It goes on to say that it was during that December 2015 trip that Biden pressured Poroshenko to dismiss his prosecutor. It was General Viktor Shokin, and he did that by threatening to hold back $1 billion of U.S. loan guarantees if his demand was not met. And I think we're kind of familiar with the rest of the story. The newly released memos come to light after a CIA database review initiated in late 2024. And officials who reviewed this report, they confirmed that it met actually dissemination standards at the time, but Biden's office intervened and shut it down. But the biggest thing for me, it's not so much the corruption, because we know about, you know, we know that this was a corrupt family and administration. It to me, what I don't know about you guys, but to me, the CIA nexus, the FBI has got a bad stain in their name. Secret Service isn't doing much better, but now the CIA, Scott Stark.
Well, I mean, it just goes to show. I mean, nobody wants to lose their job. You know what I mean? It's like you have these officials, and I'm not saying, I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying it's probably a lot harder. Imagine that from the top down, if you worked for the agency or if you were working for the FBI, and at the top down, from the president down, everybody in charge is, you can't go to it. Like you could try to say, hey, look what I'm seeing here. This is what I'm finding. I'm a whistleblower. And it's going to get crushed. It's going to get buried. Nothing's going to happen. And I think that, you know, what we saw back then and what was going on was just the result of that. There was no checks and balances. I mean, where are they going to go? Who's going to stand up? Who's going to go against it? Who's going to want to get fired after 15, 18 years on the job without nothing? I mean, it was an environment that was just set up to where corruption could just thrive and flourish. I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think everybody kind of knew that this was going on at all levels, but where's the proof? How do you prove when everything's getting buried and everything's locked in digital lockboxes or vaults with inside networks and all this other stuff, which is what I think is what's the FBI is now finding out, is like there's all these memorandums and reports and everything that's been buried inside lockboxes, and now they're starting to find them. But what do you do? How does it get corrected? And I think, you know, it's starting to, but we're still like when the media is on your side, they're not going to report the truth because they're all controlled. They're saying you will talk about this, you know, and then there's the narrative is this. So it's an uphill battle, but yeah. I mean, it's slowly changing.
Yeah. I mean, just days ago, Jeff, we were talking about, the FBI, you know, and of course they're eavesdropping and phone records on, you know, we've got U.S. Senators and a House rep and now this, but we got 2 minutes. Your thoughts?
Well, really, I'm not surprised whatsoever. The real tell was back in 2016 when Biden was not endorsed by Obama, who Obama had him as his vice president. And it's unheard of that the former president wouldn't endorse his vice president, you know, where Obama endorsed Hillary Clinton. So you knew something was amiss. And this just kind of further corroborates what everybody kind of already knows. I don't really see it as groundbreaking. It's not a surprise to me. It's not changing my opinion on it. I kind of already concluded that the stuff that has been discussed and that the Republican Party has been able to bring out and prove prior to the release of these documents, I already have an opinion that you know, Biden was engaged in some things that are very questionable, and you know, that we as a country should not stand for.
Yeah, well, I mean, we still have the naysayers out there, the people that will flat out deny that this happened. It's just getting a lot more difficult for them to put their head in the sand and to deny it when all the evidence is coming forward. We are any other weigh-ins on this? Any other words? Or are you guys ready to go on to the better news about the deportations? I know we only got 30 seconds, so I'm going to go ahead and, you know, whet the appetite for the next story here. But this next one's pretty good. In my opinion, RVM News, at DHS releases data on an insane number of illegal aliens no longer in America. Guys, these numbers and stats are quite impressive, to say the very least. We're talking about an administration that hasn't even been in power a year yet. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And then when you throw the online mix into it, the choices are almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please go to Gauls at Gauls.com to make that purchase. And they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code where you get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. It's Radio 15. So Radio 15 for 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week, you know, on the show, and we're giving away one today, by the way. So hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new friends. All you have to do is go to Gauls at Gauls.com. All right, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And hey, put your seatbelts on, guys, because you're going to learn something about the company. You know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, they provide advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. In their Eagle Protect Nitro gloves, they offer four-hour fentanyl and saline protection, giving you peace of mind when you're in high-risk environments. And we're not done. Their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue the kill for up to 28 days, ensuring that you always stay protected both on and off duty. And when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We are joined by retired LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, and also former Green Beret Delta Force operator, Scott Steyert with Aero Precision. And I know I whet the appetite in the next story, but before we go any further, I know that Jeff, you know, he is the author of On Thin Ice at onthinicebook.com. And he is going to be making an announcement. I know that a lot of the guys wait for the announcements. You know, they're made every Thursday. So, Jeff, what do you got for us?
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately for today's winner, this is the last announcement of the VIP swag box. But the winner is Troy Taylor.
Troy Taylor.
Congratulations, Troy. Yes.
Congratulations, yeah. So, yeah, that's good. So I've got mine. So this is the last one. And if they want more information on the book, is there the website they go to? It's still onthinicebook.com. That's the best way to get more information about the book.
Yeah, it's the best place to go. And there you can purchase the book. It's on three platforms. You can get a hardcover, paperback, or you can get a Kindle version.
Great. And we have a voice version coming up, I believe, sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Okay. It's on the radar.
Yep, I'll be going to the studio to read it. And actually, it'll be kind of an enhanced version of the book. I will be giving some additional insights.
Seriously? I didn't know. I didn't know that. Ah, yeah. All right. So it may be advantageous to get multiple versions of the book then.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll hear it. You'll get a little additional insights from the audio version.
I like that. And I mentioned the other day that I like getting hard copies or at least, you know, paperback or hard copy. And then I like getting the Kindle version as well, because I always have my phone with me and I can always read it instead of having to make sure that I got the book with me. So so guys, consider doing that. So I know that we left off. And we're going to be giving away some pretty interesting data here. RVMnews.com. DHS releases data on insane number of illegal aliens that are no longer in America. Now, when I read the stats, you're going to scratch your head because at first it didn't make sense to me, but I assure you that it will. President Donald Trump's deportation initiative, it's led to the removal of more than 2 million illegal aliens from the United States since January, according to new data released by the Department of Homeland Security. So again, more than 2 million. But this is where it gets a little confusing. The report indicates that approximately 600,000 deportations are on track to be completed within the first year of the administration's nationwide enforcement effort. And DHS officials stated that that ICE and other federal agencies have arrested more than, and that number is 457,000 illegal aliens so far in 2025. But those numbers fall well short of the 2 million figure that I just gave you guys, right? So we can explain that. According to DHS data, roughly 493,000 individuals have been formally deported since the start of President Trump's second term, while another 1.6 million have left voluntarily the self-deportation. I had no idea that we had that many people self-deporting. And of course, the incentive that Trump gave them for doing that is that if you self-deport and we don't have to, you know, hunt you down and get you out and spend all the resources doing that, then you always have the option to be able to come back the legal way like everybody else does. You're not automatically banned like the other people that they're forcing out of the country. So, wow. So the self-deportation, whoever had that idea, apparently if we're at 1.6 million already, that was the bomb. That was a great idea. So, Scott, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Didn't he offer up $1,000 if they left?
Oh, you know, there were some incentives. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was part of it, which I thought that was brilliant. I mean, especially with, you know, knowing that if they don't do that, there's never a chance for them to come back in. That's kind of a big deal. And then you get $1,000 along the way, you know, to help out your family and you know, whatever it's going to cost to get back to Mexico. So I thought it was, I think it's a great strategy, but it just goes to prove, man, if you just enforce the law, it works. Yeah. It works. I mean, if you just like, hey, I'm not going to do anything, then it creates havoc. So, I just think it's just proven that everything's working out well.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I realize it's costing us, the American taxpayer, a lot of money because, you know, this is just a small dent in how many illegals have come across, you know, the border, estimated at over 20 million. And so we're at 2 million, but within, you know, around 6 months of the president, you know, okay, we're in the 10th month. So, within 9 months, we're at the figure. Pretty impressive, pretty impressive. I'd rather not have had to do all the stuff in the first place. But wow, those numbers are good. So if you guys are ready, we got an update article. We got a couple coming up here. So, just to keep things moving, and we got about 2.5 minutes before we go to our next commercial break. We have at rvmnews.com, and this is what really kind of scared me. Man arrested with 200 plus explosives outside of Supreme Court red mass in DC, Washington, DC. So I'm going to go through a lot of this article because this information is interesting. And unless you're in the DC area and familiar with this, this is probably going to be the first time most people have heard this. So a man carrying hundreds of explosive devices. He also had chemicals. He had a written manifesto, arrested on Sunday outside the Cathedral of St. Matthew the Apostle in Washington, D.C. And this was just before the annual Red Mass. It's a longstanding Catholic service held for Supreme Court justices just ahead of the new term, as reported by the Gateway Pundit. Now, police identified the suspect. He's a 41-year-old named Lewis Gary. He has ties to the states of Arizona and New Jersey. According to the affidavit, our bad guy Gary was found inside of a tent that was outside the cathedral, and in the tent, he had roughly 200 explosive devices, canisters of chemicals, and modified fireworks. And guys, it gets more unrealistic. The authorities described the cache of this stuff, including containers filled with nitromethane and grenades and other homemade explosives. And when he was approached by officers, he warned them to back away. He said, "You may want to stay back and call the federales in. I have explosives." And he acknowledged that he was aware of the ongoing red mass and threatened to detonate one of the devices, reportedly saying, "I'm aware of that, and I have 100+ of them." Police ordered him to move from the area. He refused, continued to make threats. He said, "Several of your people are going to die from one of these." Officers reported that he held a lighter in one hand as he handed them 9 pages of documents titled "Written Negotiations for the Avoidance of Destruction of Property via Detonation." of explosives. How would you like to be in that scenario? The threat prompted security officials to take additional precautions. Multiple Supreme Court justices who were expected to attend the service. They ultimately skipped the event. I mean, wait till you hear the list of people that were supposed to be at this event. Bomb squad detectives searched Gary's tent, discovered several containers of chemicals, fuses, and improvised explosive devices. So IEDs. The list goes on and on. So we're gonna go to the commercial break, guys. But I assure you, this is going to be a story that's going to be worth waiting to hear. So commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about Scott's favorite subject, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision, they demand perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back in 1994, they started leading quietly the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with the Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at Aero Precision USA. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you can start getting your hands on some of the primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. Don't settle for less. We need to have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Weninger, also author of the book On Thin Ice at OnThinIceBook.com, and Scott Steyer. He doesn't have a book, but he's got a great pedigree. Former Special Forces, Green Beret, Delta Force, in case you've heard of those little organizations there. And thanks so much for being on the show. He's also with Aero Precision. You know, we left off talking about a story that should have your attention. A man arrested with 200-plus explosives outside the Supreme Court Red Mass in Washington, D.C., this is a scary story. You know, we talked about the bomb squad detectives. They were searching our bad guy Gary's tent, discovered several containers of chemicals, fuses, improvised explosive devices, so IEDs. And according to the court filing, some of the items appear to be bottle rockets that have been modified with aluminum foil heads treated with a thermite solution, which is highly flammable compound that burns at extreme temperatures. I wonder where the guy got his training from. Police described his setup as potentially catastrophic hazard, noting that he had used rubber bands to secure fuses to some of the devices. Investigators, they say that they're analyzing the contents of the tent. They're trying to get additional evidence, including electronic devices and the manifesto. And court documents were obtained by the Daily Wire. They said his writing suggested a possible ideological motivation targeting Supreme Court justices and members of the Catholic Church. And now this annual Red Mass that happened at the St. Matthew's Cathedral, it's been going on since 1953. Traditionally, and here's where it gets really interesting, it's traditionally attended by members of the Supreme Court, cabinet officials, and other dignitaries. Wow, did we avoid a disaster or what? And Gary was taken into custody by the Metropolitan Police Department, faces multiple federal and local charges related to the possession of explosive materials, making threats, attempting to intimidate public officials and law enforcement agencies. They're also working with FBI and ATF, and they're assisting in the investigation. I bet you this gave some guys a pucker factor. Let me tell you that, Jeff Weninger.
Well, let's be honest. The current climate in the United States is quite concerning. I would say from a historical perspective, you probably have not had a time where you've had such an increased threat for domestic and international terrorism here in the United States, and especially political type violence. And specific to the Supreme Court justices, when they're in DC, they have protection by the Supreme Court United States Police Department. That's when they're in DC. Outside of that, the marshals, US Marshals provide their security. And that has been increased since 2022, when they had that leaked ruling relative to the Roe versus Wade, where they've increased their security at their homes as well as for family members. But it is concerning that you had this individual that had these items and was, in from my understanding, in pretty close proximity to this event where we were supposed to have these very significantly important people attending. And it just shows and demonstrates the importance of how robust our intelligence and counterterrorism efforts have to be to prevent these types of things. And I would question, are the marshals enough? Do they actually have the personnel resources and the technological resources available to provide the type of security detail that the Supreme Court justices weren't having? So these are things that we need to be grappling with, unfortunately, but that's our reality at this time.
And good point, because we've had so many close calls. Scott Steyer?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I can't wait to find out like more, I guess, the background on this, because how big were bombs? Because when they say explosives, I mean, a firecracker is an explosive. I mean, 200 of them, that's a large amount in a tent. I'm just curious to know, like, I mean, either way, it doesn't matter. I mean, just the fact that he was there is bad, right? I mean, I'm not downplaying that, but I guess what I'm saying is if these things were more complex, or the material that he used to make them is something that not just anybody can get over the counter, or just normal firework type stuff. If it's something exotic, I mean, I'm interested to see what they find out after the investigation. Was this something that he had help with? Where did he get the information? How did he get all the products to make it, the materials to make them? There's a lot of questions I think to be answered with this.
Yeah, scary stuff. I'm sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, from an investigative standpoint, I think it's really important to just dig down into this guy's the scope of his communication. You know, who is he communicating with that has similar ideologies and types of, intent, and hopefully being able to stop these sorts of things from happening? Because the reality is a lot of successes when it comes to security and prevention, the average citizen never hears about it. And so that's something that I hope that we're able to exploit with this individual, and we interrogate him and get additional information to see what exactly and to what extent the scope is of his reach.
Yeah, no doubt. Shout out to Steve Bartlett and Cindy Clark, some new people on Facebook that are watching the show. So thanks for watching the show. We appreciate it. And also, just for our streamers, if you guys are watching for the first time and you want to enter the contest, we are doing two giveaways today. Type in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell in order to win the $20 gift card code for the two Bells. Well, they built their new online store at leoroundtable.com. They cover the first $20 that you spend at our online store. So type in 2 and the number and the letter B and your email address to win that one if you haven't won in the last 90 days. And also for the $50 Galls gift card giveaway, type in Galls, G-A-L-L-S, in your email address if you haven't won in the last 90 days on that one too. And I will be able to email either one of those to the winners at the end of the show. So any more commentary on the last story, guys? Are you guys ready to move on to a video component story? All right, so let's do that then. We got some stories with video components. And the way this works, guys, the show is live during the lunch hour Eastern time. That's 12 to 1 o'clock p.m. Monday through Friday. But producer Will takes a copy of the live show, and he'll actually reproduce it the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable. But in that reproduced version, he'll actually embed every video that we talk about, like we're getting ready to do right now. He'll also put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. And that happens Tuesday through Saturday. So it's a great option for you to watch the show, and everything's right there. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. We have a suspect wounded in a shootout with Portland police at a gas station.
Sorry, we got the car here at 122 in Division at Shell. All right, pull up and we're going to pound it out. Pull up behind it.
Yeah.
And we're going to be challenging it, guns pointed north.
Yeah, flip lights.
Yep. Driver, passenger, this is Portland Police Bureau. Put your hands up now. We believe you may be armed with a gun. Hands up. Passenger, hands up now! If you don't put your hands up, force be used against you, including deadly force! Hands up! If you reach for a weapon, you could be shot! Passenger, put your hands up! Hands up, passenger! Put your hands outside the window! Passenger, you especially, we believe you may have a gun! Keep your hands up! Hands up, passenger!
Wait.
Hands up, passenger! They're semi-cooperative. Nope, just keep your hands up. Stop reaching around. No, if you reach in there, I'm gonna, dude.
Fuck you.
Dude.
And so when this first came out, I'm thinking Portland, you know, riots, they've got the, you know, we got, you know, the armed forces, you know, there. And I didn't know what was going on, but the morning of September the 20th. And so this is not October. This is in September. Portland police officers, they were sent to a disturbance call where a guy allegedly threatened a gas station worker. And about a half hour later, police said that the same guy ends up being spotted at another gas station. And he was ultimately identified as a 30-year-old Brian Velasco Ruleas. And so when they get to the second gas station, this guy takes off. So police then they use a high-risk traffic stop, and they stop this guy, and that's when they said the gunfire erupts. So authorities said the suspect was hit by gunfire. He was rushed to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police said that there was actually a woman in the car as well. She was not hurt. No officers were injured in the shooting, and a police vehicle and a bystander's car were hit with bullets, and they didn't say where they came from. So police said that the formal charges were being filed, and it may be an attempted assault or robbery or just menacing, but looks like, you know, robbery or attempted assault may be involved in that. Now, going to my video, if you watch from the beginning, you've got a two-man unit is doing the high-risk traffic stop on the suspect vehicle that had already, you know, fled from the second gas station. And approximately at the 1 minute and 1 second mark, the front seat passenger door, it opens, and this guy exits the car. At 1:14, officers tell him not to go back inside his car and retrieve his phone. And that's what he says. I want to get my phone. They say, don't do it. Well, the guy giving him commands, the cop is on the passenger side of the cruiser. Remember, it's a two-man unit. Cop's got a freaking rifle, though. You know, and so I love it when our cops have long guns. But I'll let you guys talk about how compelling, you know, our rifle man was in giving orders to the bad guy. But he tells the bad guy not to go back and get it. Kind of hems and haws about whether he's going to shoot him if he does or not. And at the 1 minute and 22 second mark, the bad guy just says, F it or F you. And then he goes into the car. And then 5 seconds later, you know, there's a volley of rounds being fired from the officer's rifle, and the suspect goes down and he ends up being wounded and survives. So, Scott, you want to cover this first?
Well, so on this one here, I was having technical difficulties. So right at that time when the officer started shooting is when my sound went out. So I didn't finish watching it. But now that you're talking about it, I think it sounded like he shot maybe 5, 6, 7 times really fast with an AR type rifle. And I hear now that he was wounded. It's like that I don't understand. Okay. Cause I'm sure the distance there was probably, I don't know, 15, 20 meters. If I had to guess, 25, maybe. And you know why I don't, that part I don't understand, but I do. And it's funny you said that about his commands, because as he was giving his commands, he didn't want to say I will kill you. He tried to find a more softer, friendlier term to use other than I will kill you if you go back to the car. And so it's probably led to the guy's decision, I'm going in his car. This guy is like, you know, he doesn't have the ball or whatever.
Yeah, I get it. Well, guys, we're coming up on our Gun Learn break right now, commercial break, and we're going to get back to this story in 1 second. So stick around. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Gun Learn at gunlearn.com. And, you know, as police officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, competent, and accurate certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and Gun Learn has been a trusted source since back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder is Dan O'Kelly, and if you have your own agency, if you're a chief or sheriff, he's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity, and you can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, also author of On Thin Ice at onthinicebook.com, and Special Forces Scott Steyer, Green Beret, Delta Force. He's also with AeroPrecisionUSA.com. We've been talking about a story where we had a two-man unit doing a felony stop on a bad guy who exits the passenger side of the vehicle, and he wants to go back in the car. Our cop with the rifle beaded on him is telling him, don't do it. And the guy goes, I'm going to get my cell phone. And the cops, in all honesty, kind of hemming and hawing at, you know, kind of acts like he wants to say he's going to shoot the guy if he does, but doesn't want to quite commit to that. Is obviously some hesitancy, and the cop is kind of like fighting for words. And the guy goes, F you, goes in the car to get it, whatever it was. And the camera, the body camera kind of drops to a level where you can't see past the officer's door, which he was using for cover. And you hear shots are fired, and he lights a bad guy up. Bad guy survives, goes to the hospital. So I know, Scott, you were kind of wrapping up what you were saying. I don't know if you have anything extra. I know Jeff was waiting to get in here, too. So, Jeff, you want to start us off?
Yeah, you know, I don't know about you, Chip, but the one thing that I really don't like that police officers do is when they're giving commands and they're using all this canned language. I'll use lethal force.
I thought you meant profanity, but that's not what you're talking about.
No. But they use like just canned language that we would. It like, sounds language. Like, yeah, it sounds like they're reciting the policy to the individual.
I got you.
And to me, I just don't think that that's the best way to gain voluntary compliance. So just say what you mean and mean what you say.
So like don't move, mofo, something like that. Is that what you're talking about?
But I another concern is we're not privy to all the information that the officers had. So obviously he had reason to believe that he actually had a firearm and that perhaps it would be in the vehicle. So if he re-entered the vehicle, he was concerned that he would be arming himself and then become a threat of serious bodily injury or death to the officers. And that would then justify the shooting with him entering the vehicle. But so we don't have all that, so it's hard to talk about that. But one thing I really like to see is when officers don't just rely on their vehicle for cover when they have other positions to move. One of those officers could have easily moved and you're able to better triangulate the guy and have better view of what may be inside the vehicle and you know, those sorts of things that an officer would be concerned with. Because, you know, how many times have we seen videos where someone has a rifle right inside that and they're armed themselves? And,
oh, yeah.
And then it's, you know, so it's a real threat. It's a real concern that officers have on these calls. But you also don't want to necessarily be the guy who then fires and it actually was nothing but a cell phone. That's just kind of a tough spot to be in. Not that it would necessarily make it an unjustified shooting, but it's something that you have to deal with the rest of your life. So, I also would piggyback on Scott's concern that, you know, a proficient shooter firing 5-7 rounds with a long gun from that distance, you would think you'd have more than a less than lethal hit. If I were part of that command structure of that organization, that officer would be on the range with that firearm.
You know, I think it was a commitment issue, to be honest with you. I mean, if I'm talking to that guy, I'm telling him I will shoot and I will kill you if you move. And I wouldn't want there to be any doubt, even if I was lying to the guy. There have been all kinds of justified shoots with the bad guy going back in the car. Now, I'm not saying obviously you have to be in fear of great bodily injury or death for yourself or somebody else, but assuming the cop had that, and he certainly could have felt that way, because I know most cops would, shooting that guy going back in the car, regardless of whether there's a weapon in there or not, there's a lot of case law where officers have been completely vindicated and justified, you know, by doing that. But I really question, just listening to the verbiage, the officer, he was not comfortable in that particular situation. And he was so guarded about what he was saying. He didn't commit. So I have to think that there's a possibility at least that affected, the rounds on target, at least anyhow. But we couldn't really exactly see what happened during the shooting because the camera did drop below the level of the door. Although he did use the door as cover, which I was pleased to. But yeah, there was something missing there. Yeah. Scott, you're muted, Scott. But like I always say, you have pretty lips.
So it's not that door was not covered. Cover is a term used that, where something can actually stop a bullet.
Well, you know, like concealment and cover.
Yeah. Concealment. Okay. Now, it may stop a bullet. I mean, it could just miraculously, bullets do weird things depending on the bullet he has or whatever, the caliber of the round, all that kind of stuff. It may have stopped the bullet, which is why it's better than nothing. But it's not a guarantee. A door is concealment. But to Jeff's point, absolutely. Like I see this all the time, and law enforcement is one of the worst at. I mean, I wouldn't say in some ways they are the best when they approach on foot. They always do a really good job. You'll have a guy here, and then you've got a guy always out to the point. But most of the time, when I see an engagement and it's around a vehicle, they are just stuck to that vehicle. It's this false sense of security. Like this vehicle is going to save my life. I'll just get behind a door, whatever. Not necessarily. I mean, again, you're rolling the dice, and the odds are not good in that. So I think it's a mindset thing. But to Jeff's point, I didn't watch the whole video, but I've seen enough. Man, just if you have two people, one needs to get, you know, flank that individual at some level somewhere to get, if not. If there was a firefight that ensued, that is a huge advantage. But to Jeff's point, just to even be able to get eyes on in the vehicle to maybe see something that the other law enforcement officer doesn't see, so he has more situational awareness. I see it all the time.
Yeah, you know, I always trained my probationary officers right out of the academy that get away from that police car if you have other cover that's afforded to you, because you want to have an element of surprise while you have those individuals in that vehicle. If they have the intent to cause you harm and they're armed with a firearm and they're going to, once they exit that vehicle, where are they going to zero in on? The car. And if you're not there, you have the element of surprise, and you're going to be able to have these extra fractions of seconds that are going to make the difference in winning that gun battle.
Well, guys, we got just over 2 minutes. Let me see if I can get to this next one. There's a video, but it's a short one. Rumble.com. This is Butter again. St. Johns County deputy shoot and kill a guy holding the gun after a neighbor reported a suspicious person.
It was loaded.
So we're in St. Augustine. That's where they have the St. Augustine distillery that I always talk about. A pair of St. Johns County Sheriff's deputies, they shoot and kill a guy in a St. Augustine South neighborhood. And this happened on Wednesday morning. The family of the man killed declined to be on camera, but they said the suspect struggled with mental illness. Shocker. The Sheriff's Office Communication Center, they got a 911 call about a suspicious person. It's 5:40 in the morning, so it's early. And two deputies are dispatched to the area. When they get there, this guy's in front of the 911 caller's home, and he's got a gun. So the person that called the police, he's in front of their home. Deputies give him verbal commands, and things happen very quickly. The guy does not comply. Both deputies shoot the guy. They then render aid, and he ultimately dies at the scene, and he's been identified as Brad Sweeney. And when I go to my notes and you start watching, the deputy arrives on the suspicious person call. The guy drops the gun that he's carrying on the ground, and he starts to walk away, seemingly disarming the cop, right? I mean, at least mentally. But then he quickly turns around, he grabs a gun, and shots are fired by law enforcement, and he ended up dying. And they have a slow motion version, so that was pretty impressive. Jeff, you want to start us off real quick? We only got 1 minute though.
Yeah, listen, when I watched this, to be honest with you, the officer missed the initial perception of a lethal threat. The round should have been fired before that individual even put the gun down. He clearly was posed a threat. If he had the intent to shoot and kill the officer, we perhaps may be having a whole different conversation.
Wow. All right. Scotty, any weigh-ins on this? You got 37 seconds.
Nope. I didn't. Again, technical difficulties when it came to the video part. Sorry.
All right. No worries. So wow. I was surprised to hear you say that, Jeff, because I know that, you know, there's always, you know, between California and the East Coast. So I'm glad I like the way you think, because, you know, we all want to go home at the end of the day, and a lot of cops feel pressured that, you know, just they don't want to pull the trigger, you know. But right or wrong, when he did put the gun down, we've had a couple cases recently where the guy has either dropped the gun while he's running away from the police, and then he's bent down to pick it up and he's been taken out. Or in this particular case, which I really wanted to cover, the guy, I mean, I'm assuming the purpose of him putting the gun down was to to at least think the car, you know, think, to disarm the cops, basically mentally thinking, I'm not going to use lethal now. Maybe even get them to switch to a less lethal device. But then he goes for it. And I'm just glad that it ended, you know, it had the right ending, at least anyhow. Bad guy dead. So, but another great show, Jeff Winninger, Scott Steyer. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. Appreciate it. I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So if you haven't checked them out lately, please go to the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org and give them a try. I'm also going to check and see if we have enough people to make a giveaway in just a second, but I want to mention our sponsors. We have Gauls, Compliant Technologies, Arrow Precision USA, gunlearn.com, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, FisherOrlandoBass.com. Thanks for the support. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.